Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Chwaba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who once tore his ACL playing chess, Pete Chwaba.
Hey, Wisconsin. Welcome to Nightlight, our Tuesday, our Tuesday night edition, during a week that is filled with the Republican National Convention in Milwaukee. So we are live on the stream right now. If you're joining us on Facebook or YouTube, welcome, welcome. Great to have you with us. We will do our best to keep you entertained here until we go live at 8 o'clock. At which point, Matt Eisman from American Ninja Warrior will join us. He is one of the two co-hosts of that long-running show, competition show. And we are going to talk about the Twinges from Madison. I'm talking about, of course, the Green brothers, Nathan and Marquez, both 25 years old. They are competing in the semifinals this coming Monday, July 22nd. We will ask Matt about that. Matt and I have a history, too. We were on the show Sports Soup back on the Comcast network in the early 2000s. Well, actually, 2008, I think, is when we went on the air, and we wrapped up in 2010. Matt was the host. I was a writer and a sketch performer. It was a lot of fun. We'll ask Matt about that and his career in stand-up comedy, all kinds of fun stuff with my old pal Matt Eisman. And then at 8:35, Terry Bell will join us to give us a recap of the Republican National Convention's day one and two from Milwaukee. Terry might even tell us what he's watching, too. Our question of the night: what is your favorite Tom Hanks film? So let us know, and we will read your answers. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. And right now, we are going to play one of our highlights. It was my interview with Rob Thomas from a couple weeks ago, where we talk about him getting his citizenship and Inside Out 2. That's now on Nightlight. I understand that congratulations are in order for you. You are I had no idea you were even Canadian. Yes. Tell us everything. You're a new U.S. citizen. That's fantastic.
That's right. Yeah, I moved to America from Canada when I was 14 and just, you know, for like some reason, like I was like, oh, I'll just keep re-upping my permanent residency every 10 years. And then this time around, I was like, what am I doing? Like, I'm not going back, you know, like I have an American wife, I have American kids.
You're trapped.
I'm trapped. I don't spell color with a U anymore. You know, like I'm an American. So
you might as well stay because you dropped the U. Right.
You know, that citizenship test.
Yeah.
Was not too bad. It was like 6 questions.
Oh.
I aced them. Yeah.
Well done.
Yeah. It helped that I saw Hamilton. That helped with one of the questions. And then last week at Centro Hispano here in Madison, they had a nice like outdoor ceremony. The irony was that it was July 1st, which is Canada Day. So
yeah,
I was celebrating Canada Day by relinquishing or becoming the citizen of another country. So, but yeah, it's cool.
That's great.
I'm very excited to vote finally and not sit on the sidelines. And
yeah.
But then other ones are literally like, you know, who assumes the president's duties if he's incapacitated, which is, you know, I think we've all seen
the local mayor, right?
Yeah, that's right.
I remember when Jay Leno, before he hosted The Tonight Show, he used to go on David Letterman, and his appearances were so great because he was still just Jay Leno, the comedian.
Right.
And he was a brilliant comedian. And he did this skit in Chicago where he went around and asked people questions that were from the test you took to average American citizens. And he said, if they flunk it, they're deported. So you have them loaded onto a van and deport them. It was such a great skit. How's your summer going, Rob?
It's been good. Yeah. I mean, you know, the weather's kind of, you know, got more rain than I would like, but I'm sure the farmers are happy with it. And
yeah,
it feels like finally the summer movie season is kind of going kind of a slow start. Yeah. I think my modest proposal is that we start the summer movie season in the summer.
Yeah, rather no kidding.
The thing where we started like the first week in May, I don't think that's working anymore. I don't think so. Wait till like Memorial Day and then have a proper summer movie season.
I kind of get excited for summer movie season like I do with Christmas. Like the day after November, I'm that guy. I'm playing Christmas music. I love it. Same thing with the summer box office. I think to me, it officially kicked off with Roadhouse, you know, which wasn't even in the theater. I was like, right. Oh, this is going to be great. And then I didn't really like it. And then I saw Fall Guy and I was like, eh. And I'm kind of like a microcosm of, I think, how everybody feels. And I got excited when I saw Inside Out 2. I just loved it.
I completely agree. I saw it yesterday with my daughters. And
oh,
I was a little
tell me what you thought. Yeah.
Well, they're teenagers now, so they're older than, I think, the girl in the film.
Okay.
But we had seen the first one together when, you know, what was that, 7, 8 years ago? And I was a little skeptical, because sometimes these Pixar sequels don't really live up to the original.
Right.
But I thought it was great. I thought it was brilliant the way they sort of illustrated the teen or preteen mind through all the different little characters and aspects of her brain and stuff. I thought it was great. I'd be very happy if they just like, okay, in 10 years we're doing, you know, Inside Out 3 when she's just graduating from college, or yeah, you know, whatever it is. I think they're really smart about it. I really liked it.
Yeah, it's interesting. I had, like, since I've been doing this show, I'll like try to, like, if something's coming out, I'll try to see the precursors, even though I didn't see them years ago. Like, I didn't have any reason to see Inside Out the first time. My kids were a little older, but I saw it and I liked it. I saw it 3 days before I saw the sequel. And then I went with my daughter, who is 19, and we loved it so much. I had tears in my eyes at one point toward the end. Absolutely. There when they were all watching her. And you just wanted her to succeed. And it was just so... And it was one of those films that's better than, in my opinion, much better than the first one, which was a pleasant surprise, too.
It was more, yeah, more complex, I think, in the emotions.
Yeah.
And as somebody, I have to say, as somebody who sat through so many episodes of Dora the Explorer when my girls were little, like the send up of that with the forgotten kids TV character and his psychic Pouchy.
Oh,
that,
yeah,
that I love that so much. That was so funny to me. And I honestly, like, I'd like an animated movie that is bold enough to not have a villain. Like there are struggles going on, but like there are a lot of them where like, well, we got to have a bad guy, so let's try and have, you know, but like this was like, there's not really a villain.
Right.
Movie, you know, which is pretty, I think, pretty daring, and it works out really well.
That's really interesting. That's a great observation. I'm telling you, I loved it so much. And I love that. I think because kids today, based on, you know, whatever, what I've read, deal with anxiety on a much bigger scale than we ever did when we were younger and we were playing outside and we didn't have social media. So it was really cool to see anxiety play one of the characters in her head, and just some of the messaging that came through with that. I just think, I just hope every kid gets a chance to see it, and every parent too.
Yeah, no, it definitely resonated with my girls as well. That they, you know,
yeah,
it was illustrating something that they had gone through, or, you know, everybody goes through, but in a very, very fun and sort of sensitive and you know, everything's gonna be okay kind of way.
Yeah, so, exactly. Like, yeah. Well, very cool. Okay, so let's talk about, before, I'm trying to get Matt Eisman on the show. He's the host of American Ninja Warrior, and he was the host of a show I wrote on called Sports Soup. And I had him, interviewed him previously on the radio, but he's even more busy now. So I have to send a follow-up email, but I really want to get him on the show to talk about these twins from Madison that you wrote about. What can you tell us about that?
The twinges. Yeah. Nathan and Marquez, Green, I think their last name is, I could be wrong about that.
Okay.
But these guys are like 24, They're sweet guys, and they've been doing this. This is like their fourth season. They started when they were 19, and it's kind of funny because they've kind of grown up with the show in a way. Like they said, the first year, they just want to beat their brother. That's all they wanted. They beat their brother. They basically won, you know, won the thing. And then as they sort of matured a little bit, they're much more about like enjoying the experience and like, you know, they want the other guy to succeed. So they're both in the semifinals, which I think their episode is in 2 weeks. I think I've got that right. Yeah. Yeah, they're just very cool, very grounded, very cool guys. They do a lot of work with cancer charities, because they're their mom passed away when they were 14 from breast cancer. So they do a lot of camps with kids who are, have parents who have cancer, and, you know, do, and you know, they just seem very, very cool. The one thing was I could not tell them apart during the interviews. Like I was, I went back on my tape. I was like, okay, which one said this? Which one said that? Cause they really are identical. They said, usually one of them wears glasses, but he had broken them and has never gotten them fixed. So that was tough. But they're, yeah, wow. Really great guys.
Yeah. Easy yeah. guys to root for. It sounds like.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So there's another, I love Sean Penn as an actor. Why, I only made it halfway through your review. I don't know. I got distracted, but why, how did Daddy-O not quite hit the mark in your opinion?
Well, I think it's the script. I mean, it's him and Dakota Johnson, who I think is an actress who I think is kind of polarizing. Like,
yeah, she is.
Madam Webb was was not well received. But I think she can be good at things. Like, and they're both good in this, but the whole movie is like basically 100-minute taxi cab ride from, I think it's LaGuardia, New York to Manhattan. She's the passenger. He's the old cabbie. And they have this conversation back and forth. So that really, you really got to have a good script to
yeah.
keep people's interest for that long when, you know, you're in one location. And to me, the script was just very cliched. And there are moments where you can see the two of them like kind of transcending it and finding something interesting. And then it kind of pull back into it. So, you know, interesting experiment. And I can see why it would draw two big names like that, because it's not that often you get a acting challenge like that in a movie. But I found it kind of disappointing, to be honest.
It's interesting. She not only I didn't see Madame Web, but it seemed like she kind of threw people under the bus for that too, which I don't think right. is cool. It's like, okay, you made a bad movie. Everybody makes them. Just suck it up and move on. I really liked her in Cha Cha Real Smooth. I don't know if you saw that, but that was
kind yeah. of a sweet I forgot film. About that. She's great in that.
Yeah, right. she is. Yeah. She's got a lot of talent, and she's a Nepo baby. You know, Don Johnson and Melanie uh-huh. Griffith. So she's got the genes. But I did lose a little respect for her when she kind of I don't know threw people under the bus for that.
I agree. You've seen her dressed in blue. See the sky in front of you.
Forget a small moonbeam. You can't beat the memories you gave me. Fold in lightly with a dream.
Welcome back to Nightlight, a Tuesday night edition of the show that brings people together and talks about movies and TV and music and comedy and theater, all the good stuff that we love to talk about. Our question tonight is, what is your favorite Tom Hanks movie? Tom Hanks' birthday was just recently, and he's got enough films that we can just make him the question. What is your favorite Tom Hanks film? Sherry says, good evening, Pete and Conrad. Hi, Sherry. She says, Risky Business. I think she thought we meant Tom Cruise. Unless, maybe Tom Hanks was an extra. I don't know. Sherry says, why no video on Facebook? That's a Conrad question.
I did put it down in the comments there. We're actually only live on Facebook. Did.
Okay, very nice. Yeah, we are kind of battling our own network here tonight, Sherry, with the Republican National Convention. So, but we will be live on the stream and the radio at 8 o'clock. Matt Eisman will join me, the host of American Ninja Warrior, and Terry Bell with a convention wrap up. So stick around for that. 608 Anna says, "Hi, Pete and Conrad. My favorite Tom Hanks movie was Sully. You know, I have never seen Sully."
Really? It's a great movie.
I have never seen Sully, and I'm glad you said that, Anna, because that's on my list now. Paula, Conrad's mom checking in. Hard to pick one. He's been in so many, but I like Forrest Gump and The Da Vinci Code. We might have a little Forrest Gump later in the show for you, Paula, so stick with us. Chris from Janesville says, that is not pertaining to this show, so I'm not going to read that.
But thank you anyway, Chris. We will have more of your texts coming up. Please let us know what your favorite Tom Hanks movie is. Maybe one of the greatest movie stars of all time. I think it's safe to say he is one of the greatest movie stars of all time. So we will continue to read those texts. Keep them coming, folks. Great to have you with me. If you're watching on the stream, welcome. And we're going to cut over now to an interview I did recently with John Davies, kind of a best of here. He made a documentary called Funny Business. It is a great film about Chicago's first all-black comedy club. And here is part of my interview with John. John Davies joins me now on Nightlight. Hey, John, welcome back.
Hey, thank you for having me back. Yeah, I was into that conversation. We got cut a little short by my wife's dinner plans.
That's okay. I hope it was a good dinner. Where'd you go?
Oh, just some local place here in Santa Barbara. I don't want to promote them. I didn't like it, to be honest.
Oh, dear. Yeah. Okay. You were, the whole time you were eating dinner, you're like, I could still be talking to Schwabba if things had turned out better.
About television, my favorite topic.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah. So that was so much fun. Yeah. So let's get into, it was fun watching your documentary is Funny Business, P-H-U-N-N-Y Business. It was great to see so many familiar faces. And I'm going to tell you a quick story before we jump into that about one of the comics, Bernie Mac. I was on a cable show in Chicago with my friend Steve Segrin. Steve was a pretty established comic at the time in Chicago, and he brought me along to this cable access show. And we were talking, one of the anchors from WGN was interviewing us, and Bernie Mac called and he said, "Hey, Steve," they did call-ins on the show. And he said, "Hey, Steve, I was wondering if you'd want to open for me on the road." And Steve laughed and he goes, "You want me to open for you?" And Bernie laughed and Steve laughed. And I was like, who the heck is that guy? This was probably 94, John, and Bernie Mac was a huge star. And later I felt so stupid. I'm like, how did I not even know about this comedy club on the other side of town that was churning out big time stars? And I felt pretty ignorant. And it was really eye opening. But you made a documentary about this club, which I think was just great. Can you tell us a little bit about Funny Business?
Yeah, it came out of, I worked with Bob Zamuda on Comic Relief for about 8 years. And it was when I was first in LA. And by the way, I just want to throw this out real quickly. Bob and I right now are working on a sizzle reel for a doc called Comedy's Finest Hours, the story of Comic Relief. And because it's from the vault, the 20-year vault. That show was on from 86 to 2006. Wow. We're working on that. But while working with Bob, we traveled the country sometimes and did Comic Relief events, and we ended up doing an event at this club in Chicago called All Jokes Aside. We did it with Vanna White and Sinbad.
Jeez.
And we were giving away, Vanna White was working for Sealy Posturepedic Mattress Company, and she was giving away mattresses to underprivileged kids in her all-white fur coat. This was a black comedy club on the south side of Chicago, on South Wabash, actually. And I never forgot the club. I was blown away by it. And the guy who ran it, his name was Ray Lambert. And I ran into Ray on the streets of Chicago a few years later. And I said, "Hey, how's the club doing?" And he said, "Oh, John, you don't want to hear. It's a long story, but it's gone."
Oh, man.
And I said, no, I do want to hear that story. And this is after Bob and I had stopped working together. Not a falling out, just, 8 years was enough for both of us. And Ray told me the story about how the club ended, and I had been to it that night with Vanna White and Bob. Ray had shoved a pass in my hand and said, "If you ever want to come in here, here's a pass." So I had gone back that very first night to see this whole other world of all black comedy with an all black audience. And I couldn't believe how well I was treated. And by the way, I was the butt of every joke, which was great. Yeah. You can take that thing where comedians come after you one of two ways. I looked at it, I would always bring dates. And for me, it worked. It was like, the date would go, "How do they know you?" I go, "They don't know me. They just know I'm the white guy in the crowd."
Right.
And so I always looked at it as a very complimentary thing, and it was. So I listened to Ray's story, and I said, "Ray, I know you're not going to believe me, but I'm going to make a film about this. I think it's that good." And he didn't believe me. Well, 2 years later, we had the film finished. I sold it to Showtime. We premiered it. It did really well. And the thing, the reason that club blew up is a little thing called Def Comedy Jam on HBO.
Yeah.
Because Ray's club beat that TV show by about 8 months to a year. Pretty soon that show opens. Everybody's watching it, especially Black America, is like, wow, look at this. And then Ray had been booking those people into his little club for a couple of years at that point. And now all of a sudden, people could go, God, I can see all those people if I go to All Jokes Aside. So people were coming to All Jokes Aside to see these comedians that were only being discovered right then by a national audience, courtesy of HBO's Def Comedy Jam. And that show took off. You know, when HBO looked at the stats for that show, most of their audience was white because people wouldn't have gone to that neighborhood, but they were willing to watch it on TV, and they realized how damn funny these guys were and gals. And they were like, wow, this is a peek into a world we never even knew existed. And a lot of the white club owners would tell the Black comedians, you know, don't do your Black stuff tonight. Keep it broad. Jeez. Keep it general. But it, All jokes aside, they could cater to their audience, and they could do their Black stuff, which, as it turns out, is really funny for white people, too. You know, we wanted it, too. And we didn't know that until Def Comedy Jam hit the air, and Americans saw it and went, this is great. So all those guys who had been, you know, touring through Ray's club, and they had also been on what's called the Chitlin circuit on the south, the southern United States. There were other clubs like Ray's, not too many, but there were four or five of them that catered to all Black audiences in different parts of the country. And so that's where Black comedians could perform. The one club in town in Chicago that would put some Black comedians on was called Zany's.
Sure.
But they would even tell the Black comedians, you know, don't do that stuff that's real Black, you know, right. Keep it broad. And because they knew their audience, and they thought they did, and they just didn't think stuff would play. But anyway, so I made this film about it, and people were thunderstruck, including a lot of my comedy friends, like my friends at Second City, from Jim Belushi to Tim Kazurinsky and all these guys that I knew at Second City. They were like, how come we never knew this club existed? Here we were. Get up all. I wanna drive them all. When you're feeling blue.
We are back. You got Nightlight on a Tuesday night, folks, wherever you're listening from in Wisconsin. It is so great to have you. If you are joining us from on the stream from Republican National Convention coverage here at Civic Media, which has been stellar, welcome. And it's great to have you here. And if you're going to wait and join us at 8 o'clock, then you're not hearing this anyway, but we wish you luck. Conrad, have you been watching any of the Republican National Convention?
I have not.
Really?
No.
And you call yourself a citizen.
Do I?
Well, that's a good, interesting. I think you got Italy on the brain still. You're ready to jump ship.
Guess I need to go back.
Yeah, you need to take another long vacation. The whole Civic Media team has been doing just an excellent job. That will continue. Terry Bell will be here at 8:35 tonight to keep us posted and tell us what we missed today. And at 8:05, Matt Eisman from American Ninja Warrior joins me. Matt and I worked together on the show Sports Soup. He was the host. I was a writer-performer, and we had a blast. It'll be fun to catch up with Matt at 8:05 when we are live back on the radio. And if you're joining us on the stream, like Sherry is, Sherry did correct herself. She said, oh, Tom Cruise. She said, Forrest Gump. That's a pretty popular one. That's a great choice, Sherry. And she also said Big. You see Big, Conrad?
I don't even know what that movie's about.
It's about Tom Hanks goes into the body of a 12-year-old as a grown man, and the 12-year-old goes into the body of... It's just a fun movie, kind of a very sweet, heartwarming film. I'm going to go back even farther than that. My favorite Tom Hanks movie was before he was a megastar, and it's a film called Nothing in Common with Jackie Gleason and an actress called Bess Armstrong. The three of them make a great cast, and Tom Hanks plays an ad executive in Chicago who has issues with his father and doesn't do well in relationships because of that. But it's a very nice story, and it has a nice ending, and it's a
Just a very sweet movie. Before everything had to be so crazy high concept, and before Tom Hanks started making biopics where he played every celebrity who ever lived. And those are fine too. But check out Nothing in Common if you get a chance. And Conrad, I would definitely recommend Big to you. I think you would I think you'd really like it. All right, we're going to keep this little best of Nightlight comedy train rolling here, and we're going to switch to music. One of our favorite guests here at Nightlight is a local band here in Northeast Wisconsin called 7,000 Apart. And they join us now by way of pre-record, I guess. John and Amelie, and they have Jasmine with them too. She's going to sing a little backup on their next song, just a little bit. Okay, pace yourself. It's fine. I will too. I'll do the hey. I can do a hey. You guys have a couple big gigs coming up, I guess, huh? Opening gigs?
Yeah, we just actually opened for BB Rexha at Tidal Town, and then we're getting to open up for Ex-Ambassadors that are doing a show over there as well.
Wow.
And yeah, they bring in national acts, which is absolutely awesome. We are, and that we get to open is so cool.
It is. And how really cool, yeah. How do you make new fans then? I assume people discover you that way.
I would hope so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You never know, I guess. But
BB, we played like during the day and like at a different stage. So it wasn't as like super like connected to her. But this time we're actually going to be on the big stage and play right before Ex-Ambassadors. So that's going to be really sick. Yeah.
Are the crowds better when you play for a big name opening because they paid more?
Does we haven't done it much.
There aren't many bands that actually tour through Green Bay because it's, you kind of have to go.
Pop acts.
Yeah, you kind of have to go northern, like, you know, part of the U.S. and you can't really go anywhere else. So it's like a lot of bands go Milwaukee to Madison to Minneapolis.
A lot of bands skip Milwaukee too. They just do Chicago and then Minneapolis.
Okay.
Yeah.
So let's do this. Let's say you guys have hit it big. You're obviously on your way. You can live wherever you want.
Uh-huh.
You got Green Bay, Sweden, New York, Paris, whatever. where do you go?
I think we'll always have a base in Green Bay and Stockholm, no matter what, because that's where our families are.
Yeah.
And that's...
Yeah. I think so.
But I'd like love somewhere... Yeah, that was good.
Somewhere warm would be good.
As a third little place, I'd like something very warm.
All right. So without me yakking too much anymore, I don't want to run out of time. These guys are going to indulge me and play Runaway, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Is there a song you'd rather play? I don't want to like feel like I'm strong-arming you. Okay.
It's the pop song of the year, man.
Yes. Fresh off their win at the Whammies for pop song of the year, 7,000 Apart in the studio at Nightlight performing Runaway.
Someone else than to say, no one ever really wants to be of the slate. No one ever wants to feel like a criminal. But it's hard to live your life in the subliminal. No one ever wants to disobey. But it's too late, it's too late. So, hey, it's not nice to see you. Anymore, no, well, I don't fit in anymore.
was fantastic. Listen, I
thank
tried
you for
to,
the backup there.
I tried to carry you guys with my haze.
That was all you. Okay. You can take all the credit for
ladies
all that.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was the song of the year at this year's Whammies and 7,000 Apart. What is it?
The pop song. We
pop
didn't
song.
Win song of the
okay.
year, but you
well,
know,
it's still
enough.
A song of a year. We don't have to yeah, qualify okay. it.
We'll take it. We'll take it.
We'll take it.
Amelie, do you do a lot of, you do improvising with your voice sometimes?
Yeah.
Like, do you change things up just to keep it interesting or what you're feeling in the moment?
Oh, yeah. Especially if people aren't listening. Then, like,
when does that ever happen? Come on.
No, we did a country club gig. That was one of Jasmine's like first gigs with us. She was running sound, and people were eating. Like, they weren't really paying attention the first hour. Then they got like started dancing and singing along and whatever. But the first hour was pretty slow. Okay. And so just to keep it interesting for Jasmine, I was like really like messing with the melodies and stuff. So yeah, just to keep her not too bored.
Keep her on her toes. Yeah. Well, now I can it's say important. Like when your name comes up, like, hey, have you heard of 7,000 Apart? Mm-hmm. I can say, yeah, we collaborated.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been singing with them. Yeah.
On the live version, the feature, featured artist.
So tell... If you guys can, well, here's what I'd like to do. I'd like to talk for a couple more minutes, and I'd like to have you guys play us out.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll thank you before we do that. Yeah. But Conrad, you got that?
Yes.
The K-Man is into this. Okay. So tell us again, in case people are listening for the first time, how you guys met, because I think that's really cool.
Yeah. So we actually met because Amelie was a foreign exchange student from Stockholm, Sweden. And we met here in Green Bay at Preble High School, my senior year of high school in music theory class. And so we just became really good friends over music that school year. And we're like trying to decide whether or not we should date because she was going back to Sweden. And we were like, you know, should we try this, you know? And we did. And we ended up dating. But at the end of the school year, we had to decide again, do we want to keep trying this, you know, despite being forced into a long distance relationship? And we did that as well. And we ended up being long distance for 3 whole years where we were 7,000 kilometers apart. 4,462.5 miles.
Ish. I still think that number is wrong, but I keep saying it.
It doesn't matter. Yeah. It worked out, right?
Yeah.
The distance doesn't matter. That's so great. And you guys really are on your way. You just like, I mean, honest to God, even the last time you guys were here and now, I just, you have like a strut or a bounce in your step. Like you just have that confidence of a band on the move.
Well, I appreciate it. It's beginning of tour. Just invite us back at the end of tour and we'll have aged at least 15 years.
Yeah. Conrad will give you a piggyback ride. Jasmine, am I right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We got that early tour glow.
Okay.
Early tour.
That's good. All right. So before we play another song, what do you guys do when you're done writing songs, you're done touring, whatever? What do you watch on TV?
Well, we just watched Bridgerton.
Oh, yeah.
Jasmine and I.
Okay.
We got together with my host mom, the lady who hosted me when I was here as an exchange student.
That's nice.
And we watched it with her puppies. So that was good. That was really cozy.
Puppies are good, yeah.
John loves Star Wars, so we're watching the new Star Wars show. Yep.
Okay. Yep. Oh, The Acolytes?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. You like it, John?
John loves all Star Wars. Okay, but here's the thing.
I've heard
John loves everything that's Star Wars, though.
Yeah.
It's like pizza to me. Even bad pizza is still
pizza.
It's still pizza,
pizza,
you know?
Yeah.
So it's like,
right.
You can't see, but I have a Star Wars tattoo. So it's like, you know.
He's committed.
It's a thing. It was my first tattoo.
I'm not going to ask where the Star Wars tattoo is to discuss
right
your level of
right
commitment.
There.
Oh, that's not too bad.
It's not too bad. No.
That's one of them.
It's one of them. I have a few, you know.
All right. All right, very cool. Well, this has been fun, you guys. And I hope if you have any energy when your summer tour is done, I hope you come back and see me again. You're welcome here anytime.
We'd love to come back anytime.
Yeah, you guys are so much fun. And I hope you just crush it at Summerfest, and I'm sure you will.
Thank you so much.
When's your next local date here in Green Bay?
Very good question. Let me just take 1 second to look it up. We are going to be in Appleton on Sunday. And then we're in Sister Bay. I know that's not like super local, but in Sister Bay at Al Johnson's.
Al Johnson's.
Oh,
Al Johnson's, the Swedish restaurant, is
very
turning
nice.
75 years.
Really?
So we're playing for that, which is very, very exciting.
We go there a lot. I love Durkheim. Yeah. It's beautiful.
And then we're just going to be next door at Hagemeister here on July 3rd.
Maybe we'll come and see that too. That's fun. All right. 7,000 Apart. Thank you guys so much. They're going to play us out. Whatever You guys indulge me with Runaway, so whatever you're feeling. Thank you so much, you guys.
Cool. We're going to end it with no is a nice word, because we all have to learn how to say no.
Indeed.
Am I already in your past? Did you know this wouldn't last? Already broke. Did we go up in smoke? My burnout cigarette that you won't light up again. A silhouette you already regret. No is a no is a no is a nice word if you say it, if you mean it. No. No is a no is a no is a nice word if you say it, if you mean it. No. Am I stuck on the other side? Do I ever cross your mind? Never there. Oh, do you care? Are we ready to move on? Am I already gone? Just look at me. Will you see? No is a no is a no is a nice word if you say.
This Tuesday edition of Nightlight, where we are competing against the fine news coverage at the moment going on also here at Civic Media. If you are just joining us on the stream after listening to the coverage that Civic Media has provided from Milwaukee, which has been excellent, it's great to have you. And if not, we will be live on the radio in hour number two. So however you are joining us and wherever you are joining us here in Wisconsin, it is great to have you. So thanks for being with us here at Nightlight. Conrad, how we doing?
Doing fantastic.
We love that that 7,000 apart, don't we?
Oh yeah, I mean their voices are great.
Which one is your favorite? Putting you on the spot.
Well, I'm not gonna say. They're both great.
They're equi great.
Yes.
Yeah, they're a fun band and very nice people. It's great to have them on, and they're here for a while now. I thought, right?
Yeah.
I'm not going back to Sweden anytime soon, so we can have them back in if we can get lucky enough and find them on a night they're actually open. Tonight's question is, what is your favorite Tom Hanks movie? Always fun to talk about Tom Hanks. He's made some incredible movies. And like we talked about on the show previously about Tom Cruise, he is in the running for greatest movie star of our generation, I would say, along with Tom Cruise. They both pick projects unbelievably well. Tom Cruise has franchises going for him, which is great. Tom Hanks doesn't seem like he does as many of those. He does mostly sort of these biopics and big Oscar-type films, and he's great at those. But the two of them both make amazing choices when they pick their films. And they're great actors. They're great at the box office. You could argue who has had the better career, but they're both outstanding. So, but for tonight, in honor of Tom Hanks' birthday, his recent birthday, what is your favorite Tom Hanks film? Let us know at 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Coming up in just a few minutes at 8:05, American Ninja Warrior host and my old pal Matt Eisman will join me here at Nightlight, and then Terry Bell will join us at 8:35 to give us an update from Milwaukee and the RNC. But right now, we are going to pivot and play part of an interview I did recently with Civic Media's own Stuart J. Waddles, who covers news for Southeast Wisconsin. And this is part of our conversation about fibs. Okay, so fibs, let's talk. Stuart, here, we touched on this last week. I think, like, Cheesehead, I get. You know, and I'm a half fib, half cheesehead. I've spent a lot of years in both places. When I'm there, they call me a cheesehead. And when I'm here, I'm a fib. It's a very conflicting existence I have. But I will say cheesehead is a better nickname than fib. Fib is not clever. I just think we can do better. Your thoughts?
It's quite an escalation, isn't it?
Yeah. Yes.
He called a cheesehead to us. I'm going to call you an effing. Right. You know? Whoa, slow down there, buddy. I just called you a cheesehead. What? Easy. Easy.
Yes, it is a total escalation. That is a great way to put it. And like we may have talked about this briefly last week too. Sometimes people put another F word in front of it. So it's F-F-I-B.
Yeah, well, when you're driving, you got all those words all ready to go and it just kind of flows together.
Oh, that's
like
funny.
Saying automated teller machine or ATM machine.
So what do we do about that? Where do we, you know?
I don't know. I went in and I did some research. It's and I came up with nothing, Pete. There's an unknown origin on this thing. There's nobody that really knows. And they even asked John Gerda. He didn't know where this thing came from.
Okay.
So again, it's been going on at least from the 70s, from what I've gathered from reports of people hearing it, what they remember. I was also interesting. It was interesting to find out that people in Minnesota use it for Iowans. So I guess there's some dual usage there.
Well, that's even a worse escalation because people from Illinois, and I admit this, it's my native state, I guess, can be, you know, D-baggy when they come through here.
Yeah, boorish, unappreciative, rude.
Right, and mostly
they don't need to go on.
but you think they're looking down on us if they see a Wisconsin plate. I get that. But to go from cheesehead, you're right, and to go a fib for Iowa is an even worse escalation. Because Iowa drivers, come on, how bad can they be?
I've never seen them on I-94 between the state line and Milwaukee. I have, however, seen Illinois drivers, and it's they get surprised that they, I was only doing like 30 over there. Why'd you pull me over?
Right.
Because you're doing 30 over. That's like my license plate, huh? No, sir, you're doing 30 over. So I kind of understand it, but it's becoming a melting pot. I mean, I've been familiar with this term since I was young, and people have been moving in from Illinois in mass into Kenosha and Racine County. So it's kind of, we're all merging together. And to be honest with you, the actual culture, we're all the same. There's there's a working class attitude that likes sports, that likes their family. That
sure.
It's a very similar culture. So. And I think there's some jealousy, big brotherism going on.
And to be honest, they're really no different. Conrad and I have talked about this. Northeast Wisconsin has horrible drivers now. But if they had an Illinois plate, I would go, oh, yeah, okay. But you're right. It's like skin color. It's license plates or it's a religious, you know, affiliation. It's just a generalization, I think is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, and I haven't heard it, but in my research, have you ever heard of a fib tab? A fib tab.
No.
So you got the normal fib, but you add on towing a boat. Towing a boat. Hey, there goes a fib tab driving by there.
I think we could do better with, like, if we hone in on driving. Because I've heard people, like, I've asked people for suggestions. I go, come on, something clever about people from Illinois, not just, you know, FIB, whatever. And they say
point out the other aspect of this.
Yeah.
I think the other aspect of this is the property or landowners, or they're just coming up here on the weekend. We're here all the time. And I think there's a little bit of that going on, but go ahead.
That could be. No, but we get money from that. That's not a bad thing, right? I mean, and they love our state. Like I know tons of people who have relocated here because they wanted their weekend to last forever. But the nicknames I get from people toward Illinois people are like Pennyheads, Abraham Lincoln. It's like, okay, we need something like, they don't have like a cheese like we do or something that you can attribute to their head.
They got bad drivers.
That's what I'm saying. Like maybe there's we should keep working on this because I think we could come up with something. Not tonight.
But, you know, we'll work. We'll have to workshop that one.
We'll do some homework. Stuart,